The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we have known and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Trinity Sunday. Always that first Sunday after Pentecost, a continuation of the Easter cycle. And so those of you who have been in churches your entire lives have probably heard every possible explanation for the triune God. Some of the ones I grew up with were three sides of a clock. You can see three faces. Some of the ones I remember are, the apple that has a peeling and flesh and seeds. Some of them I remember were water, the forms of water, steam and liquid and frozen. And you know, I don't understand God any better because of any of them. We talk in our, what we call Trinitarian blessings, about attributes of God, and of course, as a professing church, we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. But seriously, no matter how we try to explain God, God will always remain mystery. And so, one of the better words I've heard on the Trinity for me has been that the Trinity is more about relationship and how we relate to God, or how God relates to us, more importantly. And of course, that is mystery. And Friedrich Buechner, which you hear me quote fairly frequently, talks about it in these three ways, that it's mystery beyond us, mystery among us, and mystery within us. Mystery beyond us. We think about the infinite things that God is about, that God knows, that God created, that infinite amount of things that are beyond even our ability to start to think about what they are. The mystery of God that was at creation and that gave humankind the ability to name all of the things that God created and to understand those things to the best of our ability over the vast generations. The mystery of God that is beyond us. The infinite. The things that we just can't even begin to grasp about God. This is the God that so many Christians would so dearly love to put in a box. Because then we can decide who God loves. And who is an insider, who is an outsider. And what God approves of and what God doesn't approve of. So many, and we ourselves, would love to be able to put God in a box, to define God. But we can't. Because first and foremost, even the love of God is beyond our scope. We find it hard to love those who are not like us. We find it hard to love people on the other side of town or on the other side of the street. Sometimes even the other side of the pew. And God says, but I love the world so much, I gave you my son. That is the beginning of the infinite that we can't understand. But oh, so much more. The mystery beyond. The mystery among us. If you think about it, how much do you know about the people you know best? How much do you know about the people you know second best? Do you know the joys and the concerns? Do you know the deepest fears, the deepest longings of the people that you might have coffee with on a regular basis? Most often that answer is no. We don't share ourselves intimately with each other. Not very often. There's maybe a rare one or two persons in a person's life. But you know, sometimes in being vulnerable with each other, the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit enters into that relationship and brings healing and brings life and brings joy in the connectedness. The mystery among us. Again, more profound than I can even begin to describe because it's a mystery. It's a mystery. But God is, again, the one who sees us as we are, knows us as we are, loves us as we are. God knows the mystery within us. What makes you tick? What makes you have the view of humanity that you have? What causes you to act out of love? Or what causes you to act out of fear? Or what causes you to act out of anger? Or out of compassion? That's the mystery within. Some people are better at being in touch with their mystery within than others. Some of us gain access to that through maturity. But there's so much that we don't know. The mystery beyond, the mystery among us, the mystery within us. They are all the same mystery. And the one that holds all of that mystery together is the holy and triune God. The God of the vision of Isaiah in our Old Testament text. And I thank Mark for reading that boldly, because this is a bold text. It's Isaiah's vision in the temple in the year King Uzziah died. Now remember, this is the same God that is present in any of the major events of the world. This was a big event that King Uzziah died, so that's their marker. His vision. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. And now we're in a big enough worship space that I can finally kind of envision a little bit. The hem of his robe, the hem, filled the temple. Are you starting to get the picture? And seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings, and with two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the pivots on the threshold shook at the voice of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. Can you picture it? The rumbling, the smoke, the winged creatures, the hem of the Lord God filling the temple. Holy, holy, holy. That is the eternal God that holds the mystery. And again, when we get to the end of Scripture, in the book of Revelation, that vision comes back. In Revelation, John sees it. John writes, "And the living creatures, day and night without ceasing, they're singing, 'Holy, holy, holy.'" Now, I know you don't all look at the back window as often as I get to, but when you go out this morning, the bottom three panels in the center are either angels or the living creatures or some artistic depiction, and they're holding signs because they're fixed in a two-dimensional window. But they're signs. You know what they say? Sanctus. which apparently the window creators thought angels must sing in Latin, because it means holy. And so even this back window that looks over our worship is always a reminder of the calling back and forth, holy, holy, holy is our God who holds all the mystery together. In the infinite and in the intimate. And so each time we worship, in the preface to Holy Communion, what do we do but sing, holy, holy, holy. We are joining the chorus of angels that was singing to encourage Isaiah. Because God was preparing Isaiah in that vision, preparing him for a difficult mission. And God said, who's going to go for me? And Isaiah looks around and he says, but I'm a man of unclean lips. Surely I live among unclean people. Okay, send me. Because there's nobody else around. And the vision here is quite fearsome. Send me. And in Revelation, the holy, holy, holy points toward the Lamb of God who was slain, which is at the peak of the window in the back. And when we worship, we are reminded of that Lamb of God that was slain, again, in our liturgy. This is why it's so important to sing the liturgy. As Lutherans, we know God made all your voices, and even if you don't think your voice is any good, or even if you are very, very shy, sing anyway. It connects us to those angels past, to eternity, forevermore. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. When we sing that together, we are connected to Isaiah's vision, to Isaiah's mission. When we sing that together, we are connected to the Lamb of God who was slain. We are connected to Christ and the mission he has for each of us and for us collectively as a congregation, collectively as the Church of God on earth. This is the ultimate in praise tunes. And we can't even adequately set it to music. They've tried for generations and generations and generations. We sing humbly with the best tunes we can give it. But at the end of the Isaiah text, when we sing holy, 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 we change Bible verses right in the middle of that song. And we switch to the Palm Sunday parade. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you remember that? That's what they were singing on Palm Sunday when Jesus entered Jerusalem to save. Now the people who were singing that didn't know how he was going to save yet. They only knew that somehow he's going to. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, who is Christ. That's why you'll see sometimes when I'm presiding at the liturgy, I will bow, I will cross myself. Other people do that sometimes. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, that is Jesus. Hosanna in the highest. He comes to save. holy. God is in mystery. But God loves us in the mystery that is beyond us, the mystery that is among us, the mystery that is within us. And our response is to cry out with the angels and archangels of all time and all places to join in that unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy are you, O God. You are the one who saves. You are the one who loves. You are the one who holds us. And we respond in humble trust. Amen.